Okay, so what else did we learn in our series? When Matt spoke, if you can bring up the slide, please, Matt. Now, I've put Matt the Magnificent. That doesn't quite sound right, does it? You know, I know you are really good, Matt, but, you know. He spoke about the Magnificent, obviously Mary's famous prayer. And Matt's real point was that sometimes we struggle to know how to pray and what to pray. And words fail us. But how the Bible is full of prayers that can help us to pray. And that we can even adopt them as our own. The prayers in the Bible can help us in our understanding of prayer and in our appreciation of prayer. So it's important, he suggested, that we seek them out and use them to help us in our prayer life. So let's use the Bible. Use the prayers in there, and there are many, many, many prayers to help us in our own prayer life. I'm going to ask Pat to come now, and she's going to share.
I'm going to give you one example of answered prayer, which I think shows a little bit how God works. I could give you 1,000 answers to prayer from my life. I've had quite a long life, as you can see. And I've had quite an adventurous and exciting life. But there was a time when I'd been on home leave. My father had died just before, the year before, and my mother died while I was at home, and we'd sold the home, and I'd gone to live with my sister. And then at the airport, as I went out, I said, I hope I get settled quickly, because I feel I need to get stabilized. I suppose you could say that was a form of bereavement, mourning, the feelings that you get when you've lost so much. And I was on my way to Bhutan, but I had to wait for a visa. So I was loaned to an organization called the Emmanuel Hospital Association to be their community health consultant. And I was going round 14 hospitals, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, 2 weeks somewhere else. My things were in Delhi, and sometimes when I got back there, I couldn't even get into the room where they were because someone else was occupying it. And within my mind came these words would start coming. I don't belong anywhere or to anybody. And if I died tomorrow, there's nobody would be that upset. You can imagine how devastating that is when that's how you feel. And eventually, after 2 years of that, I had a friend who was saying, but God loves you, you know he loves you. And I said, yes, I know he does, but I can't feel it. And so when she'd gone, I just got down on my knees by my bed and I said, Lord, you're my creator. You have every right to do with me whatever you want. So all I can do is cast myself on your mercy and grace. And I got up and I put on some, I think it was Down's Worship or something like that. You have to be old enough to know what that was. And started writing a letter. And suddenly, I found I was singing inside. It wasn't just with my lips. Well, I wasn't singing with my lips. But my heart was actually there in the worship. And that whole weight of depression had just lifted off, and it never came back. And it was interesting this morning, worship time psalm was Psalm 142, and in there are the words, I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Steve and his, who do you think you're talking to? First of all, stress that prayer is a two-way process, that we both speak to and listen to God. And he had good fun interacting with their two-way communication through the Slido website. And those of you who are here, whether you enjoyed that. But it's a good way of actually thinking about that two-way communication. Steve said that prayer is an incredible privilege. That being overly casual about prayer means that we're not humbling ourselves before an almighty God. He also pointed out it's important to see the diversity of prayer habits, attitudes in the congregation. Praying in different locations with different lengths of time, with different focus during prayer, are all a valid way to pray. And he got us to put up where we pray on the Slido sides, and there's all kinds of things in the shower and on a walk and wherever we pray. But they're all a valid way of praying. He brought that the wooden spoon, the TSP, which is?
Thanks.
Sorry. And please. That actually having ways to pray as well is really important. And thanks, sorry, please, is a very simple way with a little wooden spoon that we had to remember to teach us how we can pray and the things that should be in our prayer time. He finished with a noting that after humbling ourselves and praying, in whichever way we pray, then healing comes from heaven. And Steve said that prayer has no border, no time zone, no limits in geography. Prayer can impact global events and affairs. And that God may not respond audibly, but we should see and feel his influence in situations around us. And he finished with a quote from Charles Spurgeon saying, "Beware in your prayers above everything else of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know the limits of what he can do. Expect unexpected things above all that we ask or think." Our prayers go beyond boundaries. Our prayers go beyond what we can even think is possible. "But if my people humble themselves and pray," and it finishes with, "I will heal their land." Hayley.
Thank you very much. I've been praying a lot about talking today, and one of the things that God has answered with from somewhere in my house, a tiny little New Testament that was my grandfather's in the First World War has appeared, and I've been paging through all the different topics on prayer in that, which is just so beautiful, really touched my heart. So prayer for me is a regular and intermittent thing. So it's the first thing I do in the morning. And at times in my life, that has been by rote, and at other times it has been really meaningful. And the more I learn, the more meaningful I think and hope and pray it becomes. Because really, I think where God has answered me in the deepest ways is when I feel anxiety. So prayer is my hotline to God. And when I am able to listen to people around me and God's word, then I benefit, and that I haven't always listened. So many years ago, when my beautiful friend Chris first came into my life, I thought I was in a relationship that was for life, and there was a plan to get married, and there was lots of prayer. He was a man who believed and didn't follow, so he prayed but didn't come to church, didn't believe he was a Christian, but believed in God the Father, which was a contradiction. And so many roadblocks were put up by God because I kept praying for this relationship to be the one, for this wedding to happen. And it didn't happen because the more in my self-will I tried to make it happen, the bigger the roadblocks got. And I just kept climbing higher and higher and higher until God sent me the biggest message possible that was entirely unexpected about the deception that had been going on. And my friends and my family and his family were utterly stunned by who he was in the other part of his life. And so in the same year, my mom died, and I talked a lot about faith with my mom before her death. She went on a daily basis to a hospice. She didn't actually move into the hospice in the end, but there was a chaplain there. So she spent a lot of time with the chaplain, and she and I would talk about death quite a lot. And then when she died, my sister and I had to do a lot of the arrangements in our original chapel. And up until this point, I'd been in and out of church. So I started in Sunday school, in church, in the Methodist chapel that two generations of grandparents had been to. We had our own pew. It was all quite formal. My dad left my mom when I was 7, and my mom then became really wonky because this was not anything she'd expected, to be with two little girls on her own. And so at that point, then I didn't go to Sunday school anymore. I wouldn't go to church, but prayer never left me. And then in my teens and as a young adult, I was in and out of different churches. Prayer never left me. I continued to pray throughout my life. And when I got to 30, I formalized prayer. People came into my life. There were Christians around me throughout my life. And when I became 30, I learned some formal prayers that I loved. And sometimes I say them now and sometimes I don't. So one of my favourites is, God, I offer myself to thee, to be with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Thy power, thy love and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. Amen. The other thing I do is have little stickers around me. So in my day job where I earn money, I have little prompts on my desk. So pray for each other is one of my little stickers, because quite often in my work I'm challenged. So I have another type of work as well, voluntary work. It's easy to pray before I see clients, pray over them and for them and for me in working with them. And then in my paid work, in my day job, I often need courage. So when my anxiety hits, because I've got to have a courageous conversation, then prayer is there with me. After I'd been to the church, forgive me for jumping around, to prepare for my mom's funeral, etc., that was in the November, and on Christmas Day I walked into a church in the village where I was living, and at the end of the service I was given a Christianity Explored leaflet. That was about 7 years ago. So then I started to really understand what it was to be a Christian, and I feel that's a huge answer to prayer, because I've never stopped being in contact through that hotline with God. And from that point, I've what I call properly been a Christian, but on a journey and completely and utterly flawed. And thank the Lord that I'm not married to that man, and instead I've got a relationship with God.
Yeah, thank you, Hayley.
Thank you.
And then finally, last week we had Louise who shared with us, and she brought up the Lord's Prayer, obviously the most famous prayer that we all know. And she spoke from the Luke passage. Teach us to pray, the disciples said. And Louise broke down the different aspects of the prayer and how it gives us a model for all of our prayers. And using the structure of the prayer, we can help to guide our own prayers. We don't have to take it exactly, but the kind of content in there is what we should include in our own prayers and our own words. And there's a couple of stories after the prayer in Luke as well about being persistent in prayer, about coming to God time and time again, regularly and humbly, and that how the Father knows how to give good things to his children, and how that God is our loving Father. And that was a context in which the prayer was taught, a loving Father God. God will give us what we need when we ask him. He will give us what we need when we ask him. Richard.
I like that. God will give us what we need when we ask him. And I haven't been doing a lot of asking until about 2-3 years ago. So I'm going to write mine down as well, Chris, because I get emotional when I speak sometimes. But anyway, before I joined the church about 2-3 years ago, I was married with Ali. We had two girls, and prayer seemed really alien to me. Religion seemed really alien to me, and I was just kind of sitting there thinking, okay, my wife believes in a faith. I'd like my children to learn a faith, but I'm the power of my own destiny. I know what I want to do. I've read all sorts of books about business, and I've done this, that, and the other, and I know what I'm going to do. I could be on The Apprentice. It'd be amazing. And then I thought to myself, do you know everything? No. So do I know where to start? No. Do I feel silly asking where to start? Yes. So how am I going to do this? I don't know. And then unfortunately, Ali's mum passed away. And I'm getting emotional now, because my father-in-law's out in the back. And I'm proud of who he is. And I want to be the man that he is. So I thought, right, stop with the comedy and go to church. Find a church. Understand. Go to Christianity Explored. Understand that. And during Christianity Explored, as you're well aware, it says, if God put a film in front of absolutely everybody of everything you did, would you be proud of that film? And I went, yeah, no. So how do I make that film better? How do I understand what I can do? You can pray. Pray, and that is, prayer is powerful. So I thought, I don't know how to pray. Duncan turned up with a book, turned around and said, he had a mate that turned around and went, all right, God, I'm Fred. Thanks very much for listening to me. And I thought, I could do that. So I sat at home and I said, hello, God, it's Rich. Don't know what to say, but need a bit of help. And then it started with Christianity Explored, and that went on to Discipleship Explored. And I began to understand the power of prayer. And I began to understand God's presence. Now more than ever, I can understand the power of prayer, because he's done so much for me. And I will get through this. But 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, my grandmother passed away. And she was 91. 75% gin. And comedy helps me get through it. But I prayed to God and just said, you know, she's 91. She's got dementia. She's really, really poorly. Just do what you can. And he brought my whole family together. And in that time of need, we were all together. And it was the most powerful thing. But she was cremated on Friday at 8:50. And then at 9:20, I got a text message from Lou. The church is thinking about you. We're all praying for you. And I just want to say thank you to God. To Kleenex for making tissues. But also the power of prayer, because it's just been so powerful for me. Because 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I'd have just said, yeah, it seems like a good idea. And now I'll do it every day. My kids will be brought up with it every day. I do it with the family every day. And I do it in my open reach van just before I go and climb a pole. I say, you know, if you're looking out for me, it'd be nice if you could look out a little bit more for the next 20 minutes while I'm up the top of the pole, please. But no, prayer is just absolutely fantastic. And I really love Ephesians 6, the armour of God, because I just think that is just one of the most powerful things. But thank you very much to everybody here.
Thank you, Rich.
So, we've heard 5 different accounts, stories, personal recollections of what prayer has meant to 5 people in this congregation. How he's touched lives, how he's broken through, how prayer has been answered, the struggles in prayer. We've looked back at what we've learned over the last 5 or so weeks, very briefly. and all the wonder there is in the Bible of how we can pray and talk to our Heavenly Father. But I just want to finish this morning, really, and finish the series about highlighting the importance of prayer. You know, it's great that we can hear from other people about prayer and about their experience of prayer. It's great we can read in the Bible and learn stuff about prayer. But unless we actually do it, unless we actually do business with God, it is just talk. And actually affects who we are and our lives and our feelings and our will. It is just talk. We need to do it. We need to live it. We need to get on with it. If God's going to bless the work of this church and us in this church, in the community around us and what he's called us to be, salt and light, we need to pray. If we don't pray, then God won't work. Because God works through us. And he wants to talk to us and change our hearts so people can see him in us. And he does that through prayer and through speaking with us. You see, it should become our life breath and our walk of faith. Prayer guided by the Holy Spirit is normal to us as breathing. Prayer is a non-negotiable necessity. Of all the things taught in the Bible, prayer is a non-negotiable necessity. There's a guy called Tim Keller, who's a pastor in New York, recently died. And him and his wife, Kathy. And back when the 9/11 disaster happened, remember with the Twin Towers, obviously, and Tim's one of the main churches in New York, and he had to think how he's going to relate to the city and to the people who are in pain. But just so happened he was actually going through a lot himself as well in his own personal stuff. And he writes that after the 9/11 disaster, the whole city sank into a kind of corporate depression, clinical depression. And then Tim was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And his wife, Kathy, was struggling with the effects of Crohn's disease. It was a very hard time for them. And he writes this in his book on prayer. At one point during all this, my wife urged me to do something with her we'd never been able to muster the self-discipline to do regularly. She asked me to pray with her every night. Every night. She used an illustration that crystallized her feelings very well. And as we remember it, she said something like this. Imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill every night before going to sleep. Imagine that you were told that you could never miss it or you would die. Would you forget? Would you not get around to it some nights? No. It would be so crucial that you wouldn't forget. You would never miss. Well, if we don't pray together to God, we're not going to make it because of all we're facing. That's what Kathy said. I'm certainly not. We have to pray. We can't just let it slip our minds. And at that moment, for both of them, the penny dropped. And they realized the seriousness of the issue. And they admitted that anything that truly was a non-negotiable necessity was something they could do, something they must do. And they did it every day for the rest of Tim's life, who's just died recently. Even when he was away traveling around the world, they'd get on the phone together and pray every night. Because it was a non-negotiable necessity. Here's a quote, if you can put up the next slide, please, from Tim's book. Prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. It is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things he has for us. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. It is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. We must learn to pray. We have to. When Paul was writing to the churches in his various letters as recorded in the New Testament, Paul didn't see prayer as merely a way of getting something from God, but more as a way to get more of God himself. Prayer is striving to take hold of God. You see, Paul's main concern for all the churches, if you read his letters, was for their public and private prayer life. He believes that the highest good is communion or fellowship with God. If you read Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, Ephesians 3, you know, I could keep on. These passages reveal this is how Paul customarily prayed for those that he loved. And at the heart of Ephesians 1 verse 17, it says this. Can we read this together? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. He is remarkable in all of Paul's writings, in all of Paul's prayers. He didn't pray for the change in their circumstances. But he prayed that in the circumstances they would know God better. And so he continually encouraged them to pray. You see, to fail to pray is not just to break a religious rule, but it is a failure to treat God as God. It is a sin against his glory not to pray. Far be it from me, said the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 12:23. Far be it from me, said the prophet Samuel to his people, that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Samuel knew that prayer was really the only thing that would really change the circumstance and situation, that really let God be God, for his will to be done, for his kingdom to come. Prayer is so great. Wherever you look in the Bible, it is there. Why? Where everywhere God is, prayer is. And since God is everywhere and infinitely great, then prayer must be everywhere and all pervasive in our lives. Prayer is awe, prayer is intimacy, prayer is struggle, yet the way to reality. There is nothing more important or harder or richer or more life-altering. There is absolutely nothing so great as prayer. We're just going to finish soon and Louise is going to lead us in a time of prayer. But before we do that, I just want to share something. You know, we haven't scratched the surface about what the Bible says about prayer. Not even scratched the surface. And I would encourage you to go and read some good books. To go and have a look. Ask Bill. Ask somebody else. Ask people you know who know, you know, there's some great books around on prayer and how to pray and the kind of things that can help you pray. But you know, it's up to you. The question to all of us is, do we really want to understand and know more about prayer? So that I can deepen my prayer life, so that you can deepen your prayer life. It's up to you. See, I can't do prayer for you, and you can't do prayer for me. I can pray for you, but I can't do your prayer. And you can't do mine. That's our choice. So we need to encourage one another, just as Paul encouraged each other all the time to pray. So we're going to read these four verses together. This is how Paul encouraged some of his churches. And let's just take these words on board and let's say them to one another as an encouragement to each other to pray. So let's start with Ephesians 6:18. Let's read together. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then finally, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. God speaks through prayer, and when you listen to what he's saying. And we've heard that through the stories we've had this morning, and how they've really affected the people. And we're going to pray now as together, and we're going to kind of seal our series on prayer with a time of prayer. But I was just something I want to share as we go into that time of prayers. A couple of weeks ago, just before Steve spoke, I was out walking, and God brought very strongly to me, and I was praying, and he brought the words locusts, and I thought, locusts? You know, and it was totally out of random. And he brought the passage to me from Joel 2:25, where he says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. In other words, they're not very nice, these locusts. I thought, well, God, why? And it was like, what on earth has locusts got to do with anything about prayer? And I left it, you know, and I came down. And then Steve put up his verse, the Bible reading, obviously, from 1 Chronicles. And he put the two verses up before that as well. And what did it say? The prayer in 1 Chronicles was in response to, when I shut up the heavens and locusts come. When I shut up the heavens and locusts come. There's no... So let me just read that to you. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. When that happens, if my people... And God just said to me, that's why I put locusts in you, because I hadn't even noticed that. I was too focused on the verse. And I says, why are you saying that then, God? And I believe God was telling me that there are many of us in this church that have lost much to swarming locusts. Whatever that means for you. And maybe we feel that heaven's shut and we're far away from him. That we have no crops. That almost like a plague has gone through our lives. And God just said to me, humble yourself and pray. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Seek him. And I will heal your land. See, God will give us back what the locusts have eaten. But it starts with humility and prayer. So if you feel locusts have eaten something in your life, God is saying to us, humble yourself, come to me and pray. Seek me with all your heart, and I will restore to you what the locusts have eaten. That's his promise. But you know, it starts with us, our choice. If my people will humble themselves and pray.